Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our church family at St. Linus. We extend a warm welcome to all of you and to our visitors as we worship together on the third Sunday of Easter. If you attended the Divine Mercy Mass last Sunday and took home one of the Divine Mercy books, the Knights of Columbus asked that you please return them to the parish office. The ushers will be selling 50-50 raffle tickets after all Masses this weekend. They're $1 each or 6 for $5. And please join us after Mass for coffee and donuts in the activities room. And page 3 in our bulletin has all the meetings this week. Now, if you'll please stand and join us in song.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
May the grace and peace of the risen Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Hello to those who are with us at home. This is just a reminder to you at home that this is one of the last Masses that we'll be broadcasting at 10 o'clock, second to the last. The last Mass will be next weekend. And then in the beginning of May, we change our Mass schedule to 9 and 11. And we will broadcast live the Mass at 9 and replay that at 11. Deacon Andrew has been with us since October, but he is not with us much longer. Next weekend will be his last weekend with us. After that, he graduates from the seminary. We'll go back to his home diocese in Winona, Minnesota for a short while before he is ordained a priest on the Feast of the Sacred Heart on June 11th. I've asked Deacon Andrew here as his time with us draws to a close to speak to us today about what God's done in his life, what his experience of the Lord has been, how the call of the Lord has been on his life. We continue our celebration of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That great action of God that gives us hope. As we gather in faith now and prepare to enter into these holy mysteries, as always, we prepare ourselves for worship. We prepare ourselves, sinners, to worship God who is holy by purifying ourselves, examining our conscience, crying out for the mercy and the help we need.
Lord Jesus, you raise us to new life. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you forgive us our sins. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you feed us with your body and blood. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting.
Amen.
Let us pray. God our Father, we look forward with hope to our resurrection. For you have made us your sons and daughters and restored the joy of our youth. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the captain and the court officers had brought the apostles in and made them stand before the Sanhedrin, the high priest questioned them. "We gave you strict orders, did we not, to stop teaching in that name? Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and want to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles said in reply, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus, though you had him killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to grant Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, as is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The Sanhedrin ordered the apostles to stop speaking in the name of Jesus and dismiss them. So they left the presence of the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they had been found worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the book of Revelation. I, John, looked and heard the voices of many angels who surrounded the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They were countless in numbers, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, everything in the universe, cry out, "To the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor, glory and might forever and ever." The four living creatures answered, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that time, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together with Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the nets over the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it, and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter went over, dragged the net ashore full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus revealed himself to his disciples after being raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, "Do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." He then said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that Jesus had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." "Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When I was little, I loved cars. My dream was to be a race car driver. When I was little, I wanted to go to the Indianapolis 500. As I grew up, I dreamed about being other things: a baseball player, basketball player, psychiatrist, neurologist, golfer, and a number of other things. For as long as I can remember, though, I just assumed and knew that I would go to college, get a job, get married, have kids, try and become rich, grow old, and die. The question wasn't if I would get a job, it was what kind of job, how much would it pay. The question was never would I get married, it was always to whom would I marry. The question of vocation never came up, even though I went to Catholic elementary school. I never thought about or entertained a call to the priesthood. It stayed this way until college. I was a lukewarm Catholic, the kind St. John talks about spitting out in Revelations 3:16. Luckily for me, though, just like Peter in the Gospel, Jesus would call me three times to a radical, life-changing profession of love for him. The first time was when, as a freshman in college, I met some people who showed me how Christ was supposed to be the center of my life. I started to let my relationship with Christ affect the movies I watched, the music I listened to, and other things. I started reading the Bible every day. Now, while in college, I had a pirated program on my computer. The retail value of this program was over $1,000. I used it to do my homework. However, God convicted me that I needed to remove the program, and by keeping it, I was stealing. I didn't want to, though. If I did, I would have to go to the computer lab to use the program, which was halfway across campus. It would be a huge inconvenience. Now, at this time, the power button on my computer wasn't working very well. It had one of those physical buttons that would pop out all the way when the monitor was off and stick halfway in when it was on. However, sometimes I would have to press it 15 times or more before it would stick halfway in and thus turn on. Well, this evening, after sitting there for a half hour in front of my computer, arguing with God about why I should be able to keep this program, I lost the argument and finally deleted it. After doing so, the power button on the monitor worked perfectly and continued to do so until I got rid of the computer years later. The second radical life-changing event happened a couple of years later. I began to realize that both the Baptists and the Catholics can both be right. This was especially true of the Eucharist. Catholics believe that a priest can somehow turn bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. Baptists believe that Catholics are gravely wrong, though. The Baptists think that Catholics are worshiping bread and wine as if it were Jesus, and worshiping something that isn't God is against the Ten Commandments. So this and other problems were rising to the surface. I knew that Christ had died on the cross for my sins, but that was about all I was sure of. I didn't know if the Catholics were right or if the Baptists were right. I knew what the Catholics believed, I knew what Baptists believed, and I knew why. But because of my poor Catholic catechesis or teaching, I knew what Catholics believed, but I didn't know why. So I started reading Catholic authors, and after 3 months of intensive self-study, I became convinced that the Catholic Church was the church that Christ started 2,000 years ago. So I became involved in the Catholic campus ministry. There, for the first time, someone asked if I had ever thought about being a priest. I said, no way. The pastor told me that there was a priest discernment group that met on Sunday evenings, and I turned him down the first couple of times. However, he eventually mentioned that they serve pizza. So I decided to go anyways. However, after a year of being a part of that group, I still decided that the priesthood was not my calling. So I graduated and got a job at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. There I was at a Bible study by the associate priest at my parish. And after class, some woman was waiting to ask the priest some question. So out of curiosity, I asked her what the question was. Now, I don't remember what the question was now, but I answered it to the best of my ability. When the priest became available to answer her question, his answer was basically the same as mine, at which point she asked if I had ever thought about being a priest. I told her that I had been brought up before, but I was pretty sure that this is not what God was calling me to be. At about that time, I became involved in teaching 10th grade faith formation. For some reason, just because I was not married, at the parish almost every day of the week for some meeting or something, more and more people were coming up to me and asking if I had ever thought about being a priest. I kept telling them no. I started dating an awesome young Catholic woman named Katie, who was a nurse at the Mayo Clinic. She had gone to school at Franciscan University of Steubenville, Ohio, a very Orthodox Catholic university. She carried the spirit of that place with her. However, despite our dating, the pestering of God's people started to wear on me. So I started taking the question of my vocation to prayer. Finally, 7 years after the priest at college first asked if I had ever thought about being a priest, and after much prayer, I decided to go to the seminary. And thus began the third radical, life-changing profession of love to Christ. I entered the seminary not thinking I would become a priest, but that I needed to pray and decide and discern the vocation, the call to priesthood, without the distractions of daily living out in the workplace. God never called me to leave. Instead, he has given me more and more conviction that this is my vocation, that this is what I am called to do, what I was created to do. Even though I think it would be great to have a woman to love and to love me back, I'm absolutely convinced that God is calling me to be a priest, that this is my path to sainthood. This includes my time here at St. Linus. It has been a gift to be a part of your lives. Thank you. I have enjoyed being a part of the staff versus students basketball event. I enjoy talking to the kids during lunch, the couple of times I was able to visit on Fridays during the fall semester. I enjoy being a part of the RCIA program and watching them grow in their knowledge of God and the church. Also, their new young faith energized my own. I enjoy chatting with some of you over coffee and donuts after the 10 o'clock Mass. God, good company, and food is always a winning combination. But most of all, I enjoy celebrating the Mass with you around the Lord's table. So thank you very much. So some lessons I think we can take from my life story. First of all, my call to priesthood started from without, not within. It was others who first approached me about being a priest. Ask the young people in your lives if they have ever considered a call to priesthood or religious life. I think it is far better to err on the side of asking too much rather than too little. I would not be standing in front of you today if people hadn't literally pestered me about becoming a priest. Two, our vocation is our pathway to heaven. In marriage, your spouse and your kids are the fire that burns away any imperfections so that you can become holy and perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. In priesthood, it is the people in the parish that become that refining fire. So young people, when you are deciding and discerning your own vocation, ask if married life, religious life, or priesthood would help you make you the most holy. Three, for all of us, whenever we make a decision in life, we need to pray with the attitude that Peter had in the first reading. We must obey God rather than men. Sometimes, what God wants us to do is not what we want to do. But if we believe that God is good and wants what is best for us, then we need to trust Him that what He desires for us to do will truly bring us the most happiness and joy. In 2 weeks, I will graduate from Sacred Heart Major Seminary. The end of the beginning is close at hand. I will go back and serve as a deacon in my home diocese, the Diocese of Winona, Minnesota. I will be deaconing at a parish there in Minnesota until my ordination on June 11th. You are all welcome to come. It would be quite a drive, though, but you are welcome to come. After that, I will be placed in a parish as a Catholic priest. I can't believe it. God is so very, very good. Peter, in the Gospel, was called to be the leader of God's people, even to death. Pray for me that I will have the humility, courage, and fortitude that Peter showed. And I will pray for you. Thanks again so much for your open arms and hospitality. If you are ever in southern Minnesota, give me a call. God bless.